Thank you for welcome to your second home. There's so many people who are watching and hearing the news day after day, night after night, with all the shooting and the killings and the wars and the terrorism, and there's to say nothing of the discords in families and relationships. And they are rightly asking, where is this Prince of Peace? Where is that peace that the angels talked about and announced to the shepherds in the Judean hills? Where is that peace that promised at the birth of Jesus? Every Christmas, we hear them read the same great announcement of the angels in the Judean hills, peace on earth. Every Christmas, we hear and read about the great news of Jesus' birth and Prince of Peace is born, and yet it appears that every succeeding year, we seem to have less peace than the year before. The truth is, the Bible has been announcing the coming of the Prince of Peace way, way, way before Bethlehem and before the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem. Hundreds, in fact, thousands of years before that announcement by the angels to the shepherd, the Old Testament has prophesied of Jesus, the Prince of Peace, will be coming from heaven to earth. For thousands of years, prophet after prophet after prophet in the Old Testament proclaimed the coming of God's Son, the Prince of Peace. For generations, from Abraham, who looked forward to the city that's not built with hand, and every succeeding generation, they have looked forward with hope and with expectations and anticipation to see the Messiah, the Prince of Peace. Here in the Church of the Apostles, in the last several weeks, we have been going through this series that you've heard it sung from Isaiah. It's very familiar. In the last several messages, we've been looking closely and in details what God the Father called God the Son Jesus before 700 years before he was born. We have been examining the clearest announcement, the clearest prophecy about the coming of the Messiah 700 years before his birth of the Virgin Mary in Bethlehem of Judea. And it's found in Isaiah 9:6. Probably most of you would recite it. Most of you know it by heart. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor. And we looked in details about why Wonderful Counselor comes first. And then we looked another Sunday, we looked at Mighty God. Why would God the Father call God the Son Mighty God? Everlasting Father, as he's the Father of everlasting life. And here we come, as we celebrate Christmas and Christmas Eve, to look at the fourth and the last of those descriptions, the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. Now, if you have not been here and you have not followed on the streaming, you can, when you go home, you have time during the holidays, just download all the previous three. You'll be blessed, and they're free. Apostles.org. Wonderful Counselor. Mighty God. Everlasting Father. And so, we come to this fourth description, the Prince of Peace. As we celebrate Christmas, this is a very apt statement to focus on. The Prince of Peace. Think about it. 700 years before he was born in Bethlehem, God the Father said his name will be the Prince of Peace. If you are one of the many people who are questioning, where is this Prince of Peace? Where is that peace when in a world that is so filled with turmoil? Now, you have come to the right place. If you're one of those honest people who ask, I don't have an inner peace. Where is that peace that has been proclaimed every Christmas? If you're a person who have no peace at work or at home, if you're a person who have no peace in your relationships and you're searching for that peace, this elusive peace, you have come to the right place. But there is more. When you begin to comprehend that word peace, which it, again, in English, that's all we've got to deal with, peace. But you have to understand what the word shalom means in Hebrew. It is absolutely important to comprehend what God meant when he said he is the Prince of Shalom. When you understand the shalom of God, you would be eager to experience it if you haven't already. We translate shalom, as I said, into peace, which is sometimes really taken for granted, and it doesn't have that same pregnancy with meaning as the word shalom does. My generation, I'm dating myself. I'm the hippie generation. Okay, I was a hippie. Would you believe that? One day I was a hippie. I had long hair. Would you believe that? It looked terrible, didn't it, honey? She says, yes. I grew up in the 60s, the hippie generations. And half conscious, we look at each other and said, peace, man, peace. We have kind of really downgraded that word. We downgraded it so much. We thought that's the peace that we're looking for. Now, I wanted to show you the incredible rich meaning, the completeness of that word shalom, the completeness of it from the pages of the scripture, not from my own mind because I really don't have much to contribute, but I'm going to show you from the scripture, from the word of God. In the book of Genesis 43:27, shalom spells out a complete well-being. In Genesis 43:28, shalom is good health. In 2 Samuel 18:24, shalom is safety. In Psalm 35:27, shalom is prosperity. In the Song of Songs, chapter 8, verse 10, shalom is being favored. And in Psalm 38:3, shalom is rest and tranquility. And in Deuteronomy 27:7, shalom is complete wholeness. Now you understand what I mean. That is, the meaning is beyond description in our English language. Hear me right, please, because any and every thought of wholeness, fulfillment, contentment, completion, tranquility, safety, harmony, and reconciliation, all embodied in the word shalom, the shalom of God. They're all wrapped up in that word. Now, some of you probably are saying, well, Michael, I think you just made things worse for me. I'm not experiencing most of the stuff that you rattled off here. I lack just about all these things, that the meaning of shalom. You just made my skepticism to be worse. Please wait. Wait until I get to the next point. Because I have great news for you. I have the most wonderful news. I have been privileged of taking this wonderful news to more than 195 countries around the world for the last 52 years. There is no greater news than the news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is great news. I'm going to show you first. You need to understand that God in heaven, and his word expressed that for us, God in heaven knows that shalom expresses the deepest longing of all of our hearts. Shalom embodies the greatest desire of all of the human hearts. Shalom is the most desperate need of every human being on the face of the earth. And trust me, I circled the earth more than 78 times. And that is why 700 years before Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary in Bethlehem of Judea, God said, I am sending my son, the Prince of Peace, the Prince of Shalom. I hope I'm not anticipating too many of your questions, but I try to do that. Some of you might still be asking, well, why it says the Prince of Peace? Why not the King of Peace? Why just the Prince of Peace? Why not the King of Peace? Well, I'm glad you asked, because that's a great question. In Hebrew, the word prince and the word king used interchangeably. For the prince has all of the embodiment of the power of the king. The prince has all of the authority of the king. The prince has all of the prerogative of the king. The prince has all of the ruling delegation of the king. The prince has all of the royal standing of the king. And that is why only Jesus could be called the Prince of Peace, or the King of Peace, or the Author of Peace. All because Jesus alone can bring you peace. And there can be no peace without him. Oh, my beloved friends, while the world is starving for shalom, they cannot have shalom without Jesus. While nations are longing for shalom, and I watch with dismay the longing of some peoples all around. We have 27 hotspots of wars around the world right now. And nations and people around the world, they are desperate for the shalom of God, but they cannot find it without Jesus. While millions of homes are longing for God's shalom, they cannot find it without the Author of Peace. While many lives have been torn asunder and yearning for the shalom of God, they will not experience shalom without the Prince of Shalom. But there's one more clarification. His shalom, his peace, is very different, very, very different from the fake and temporary peace that people talk about, and some people may even promise. How? For the moment, your peace is dependent on people or money or anything else. The moment you lose those, that peace is gone. But not the shalom of God, not the shalom that Jesus gives you. It never leaves you regardless of your circumstances. It never flees no matter how difficult your situation may get. It never ignores you when you find yourself in the valleys of life. And I've been there so many times. We clearly see that shalom of Jesus, the shalom of God in Jesus during his earthly life. Look, just cursory examination of the accounts of the gospel, of the biographies of Matthew, Mark, John, Luke. You see the incredible shalom that Jesus had during his earthly life. The Prince of Peace could sleep soundly on the boat despite of the raging storm on the sea. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, was always at peace, even when people insulted him. The Creator of the world was spat upon, even when they falsely accused him. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, was filled with peace even when they were nailing his hands and feet to a wooden cross. Why? Because he is the Prince of Peace, the source of all peace, and there can be no peace without him. Only he can give that permanent peace. That is not dependent on the circumstances, that's not dependent on the events in life, not the temporary peace, not the occasional peace that one may experience, not the peace that politicians talk about, not the peace that dependent on people and circumstances. No, his peace is not affected by the circumstances. His peace is not dependent on life's events. And that is why Jesus and only Jesus can give you true shalom. And if you have never experienced that, you can today. He longs to give you his peace. He came from heaven so he can give you that peace that doesn't make sense. In fact, the real peace, shalom, is felt much more greatly. Ask anybody who have been through this, who knows the shalom of God. His peace is felt far more greatly in times of fear and uncertainty. Yes, even and especially in times of death. Some years ago, I read a story about the U.S. Navy submarine that was being tested. And the test was that the submarine was going to go literally almost at the bottom of the ocean for several days. But then finally, when the submarine surfaced, they asked the captain, "How did the turbulence of that nasty storm affect you down there?" He looked at them with puzzlement. He said, "What storm? We were not aware there any storm around." Why? Because they were in the depth of the ocean. That is the shalom of God. That's the shalom of God. Oh, my beloved friends, that's exactly and precisely what the shalom that the Prince of Peace came to give to every individual who would come surrendering to him and to his lordship. Through the oceans of, though the oceans of life can rip and roar, you're at peace. Though the events and the circumstances would toss and turn, you're at peace. For God's word tells us that the shalom of Jesus, that only He can give, is beyond human comprehension. It's beyond human understanding. It is beyond human explanations. It is beyond human description. Amen belongs here. If you have never experienced the Prince of Peace and the shalom of God in your life, and you're hearing about it perhaps for the first time, or maybe just explanation for the first time, oh, it is the cry of my heart and many who have prayed for you that today will be the day to receive the Prince of Peace as your only Savior and Lord, so that you confess your sins, confess your shortcomings, repent of your sins, surrender to Him, and only then will you receive that unique shalom of God. Just a couple of weeks ago, in fact, maybe less than 2 weeks ago, I had the privilege of meeting with a physician, a medical doctor. I will not mention the country from where he came from because he converted to Christ from Islam. It is a must. I sat there with tears. He comes from a very strong, conservative, almost militant family, Muslim family. What they tried to do to him, something that nobody at the sound of my voice will even comprehend or understand. And yet, he can talk about this. And you can see it all over him. The shalom of Jesus, whom he saw in a dream and surrendered his life to him. Now he's going all over the world telling the world about Jesus. I'm reading his book right now. Oh, beloved, this is the shalom of God. I have seen it. I've experienced it, so many of you here. Someone may say, "Well, Michael, you know, I admire Jesus. I really like Jesus. I'm fond of Jesus. I even believe that He's the Savior of the world." Oh, my dear friend, that is not the question. That is not the question. That is not the question. The question is He your personal Savior? Do you obey Him as the Lord of your life? Is He reigning and ruling in your life? In every aspect of your life? Because the Bible said, even the devil believes in Jesus. In fact, he does more than humans. The Bible said he trembles at the name of Jesus. So the idea is not, yeah, I believe in Jesus. No, 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 no. And the issue is not believing in Jesus like I believe in the sun and the moon. But have you totally surrendered to Him? Have you surrendered your life to Him? Are you living under His authority and the authority of His Word? That is the question. That's what Christmas is all about. It'd be a wasted time and energy and effort without understanding the real Christmas. To say that I believe in Jesus, I admire Jesus, is different from inviting him to come into your life. You know, when people say, well, I believe in Jesus, I'm fond of Jesus, I like Jesus, you know, my own answer is, it's like you're inviting a guest into your house, and then you lock them into a little room. You lock them out of the bathroom. You lock them out of the kitchen. You lock them out of the living room. You lock them out of the dining room. What kind of a trust is that? This is the same way as so many people who get sentimental about Jesus and the babe in Bethlehem around Christmas time, and then it's all forgotten. You have locked him up in his Christmas season until next Christmas season. And that is why I'm pleading with you. This should be your last chance. It may have been, and it may be, to some of you, it's your last chance to invite the Prince of Shalom to come into your life. Surrender to him all of the keys of all the aspects of your life. Surrender your time. Surrender your business. Surrender your desires. Surrender your thinking. Surrender your relationships. Surrender your finances. Surrender your desires for the Prince of Peace or the King of Shalom. Either he is Lord of all or not Lord at all. I have talked to enough people throughout the 53 years of ministry. I was calculating for some reason this week. This is my 40th Christmas message at the Church of the Apostles. Amen. Amen. Thank you. But I've talked to enough people. I've talked to enough people, not just in Atlanta, Georgia, but neighbors and friends and people that I come across, but I talk to people everywhere in the world where I travel. Some of them are afraid to surrender their life to Christ. They really do. And I'm not condemning anybody, but they do. They fear that they're going to lose their independence. Some will tell me that they fear they're going to lose how they want to live and which lifestyle they will choose for themselves. Let me tell you something. Beloved, please listen. Whatever you surrender to the Prince of Shalom would be absolutely minuscule in comparison to what you're going to receive from him. You're going to receive so much more. Or someone perhaps would say, but Michael, back yonder, I invited Jesus into my life. I walked down the aisle and I joined a church and I've done this and done, but my life's still in turmoil. Everybody around me thinks that I'm fine. Everybody around me, even my dearest and the nearest, they think I'm doing great. But when I'm all alone, I live in a quiet desperation. I'm quoting a person who said that to me not long ago, word for word. I live in quiet desperation that nobody else understands. Another one would say, I live in such worry and anxiety that is killing me from the inside. Fear and apprehension is harassing me on every side. Uncertainty of the future is plaguing me. Fear of rejection often covers me like a blanket. And when I pray, I feel that my prayers are not going beyond the ceiling. I want to tell you, you have come to the right place. If that is you, don't be embarrassed about that, because it's between you and God. You have come to the right place, because here you're hearing the good news of the gospel. Now, it's not the good news of the Church of the Apostles. It's not the good news of Michael Youssef. I tell you, that would be bad news. But you are hearing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Shalom. When you hold nothing back, including your fears, including your anxieties, including your apprehensions, including your uncertainty, when you surrender it all to the Prince of Shalom, when you submit all of them under his authority, only then his shalom will begin to flow through you from head to toe. Oh, I'm about to finish, but I want to make sure that you understand. You see, most people, they want all of the blessings that come from the Prince of Peace, but they're unwilling to obey him. But you have to understand that surrendering and obedience is not something you do on occasion. Like, you may have been convicted now, and you may make that decision today, and then it's over. No. That's the problem. That's what people think, well, I did this, and I did that, the other thing. No. Surrendering to him is a moment by moment, day by day. It's continuous. It's continuous. Not just when an event takes place and it's over. No. Moment by moment, every single day. I'm going to tell you this very brief story, and I'm going to conclude. After the War of Independence here in the United States, a British general who was surrendering to General Washington, and he waxed eloquently as he surrenders to the great George Washington. He began praising Washington for his courage and for his valor. And all that George Washington would say to him, "Your weapons, sir. Your weapons, sir." My beloved friends, that's what Jesus is asking for. Give him your weapons. You say, "Michael, what weapons do I have?" Listen carefully. As I said, I'm about to finish. Your pride is a weapon. Living independent of God is a weapon. Wanting to believe what you want to believe about God and how you want to believe about God is a weapon. Living for self alone is a weapon. Not trusting in the promises of God is a weapon. To all of these and many, 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 many more that you even be more aware of than I can tell you, the Prince of Shalom is saying to you, if you want to experience my shalom, surrender your weapons. Give up your weapons. Here's a biblical fact. Your eternal life and the assurance of eternal life in heaven begins the moment you surrender your weapons. After that, you're at peace for all of eternity. Life goes up and down, you're at peace. Circumstances easier or hard, you're at peace. Circumstances shift and change, you're at peace. Life or death, you're at peace. The Apostle Paul was so confident, he said, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Heads I win, tails I win. Life I win, death I win." That is the peace of God. That's the shalom of Jesus. Will you pray with me, please? In the privacy of your own mind and heart, if you had a tinge in your spirit, maybe this is not a man with a funny accent speaking, but the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, and that God has been guiding you has been leading you, has been speaking to you, all to lead to this moment. This is a moment of decision. That's a moment of surrender. That is a moment on which your eternity hangs in the balance. Again, in the privacy of your own heart, you can pray this simple prayer with me. Father God, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you that he came from heaven and he died on the cross for me. I am conscious of my sin and shortcomings. I thank you that he's willing to forgive me all of my sins because of that cross. Forgive me. And beginning this day, help me to daily surrender. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you prayed this prayer, why don't you tell somebody? Many of us, the pastors, are going to be right up front. Come and talk to us. Tell somebody what you have done. That, no, they will be rejoicing with you. God bless you. Thank you, Jeremy. Thank you.